You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Okay, let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you, my God, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that you, Father, just bring us in remembrance of your Word constantly, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life, and that, Father, we might see, Father, your kingdom come, and that we might see, Father, people come to the fullness, Father, of your word. And so, my God, we just thank you for the word today. We ask that you bind it to our hearts, bind it to our, and not just to our minds, but, Father, make it a living revelation in us, that, Father, we might go from here, not just hearers of the word, but effectual doers. Yes. And so we thank you now in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Turn Amen. With me, if you will, to John chapter 15. My word today is this: this is our time. You know, this is our time. The situation that we are facing in this in the nations of the world is not just this nation. The nations of the world are hurting. You know, the nations. We gave and trained intelligent people in our universities to look after us. We gave them the money to develop and use. Amen. Friends, I tell you what, we could have given them to preschool children and wound up in the same situation. I don't know why we give it to these educated idiots. But I want to tell you one thing, is they didn't do it by themselves. They were led by the nose by one called the devil. To bring us into submission. And friends, we're not coming into submission. We are not coming into submission. This is our time. And it's rather interesting, when you go through the Old Testament, you see the word is famine. And then you look in our time, and the time, and the word is called recession. And you look in God's time, and he calls it our time. This is our time, he says. Famine was death for the ungodly. Recession is loss and despair. Depression and loneliness. There's so many men and women killing themselves over a stupid dollar note. Can you believe that? How stupid is that? Because pride and arrogance and every other thing comes flooding in and just leaves them barren. And they think, man, what can I do? I have this big flat house up on the hill, overlooking the ocean, beautiful. Everyone was marveling at it. Well, they're not marveling today. They can't get rid of them. Yeah. It's amazing in Australia. Australians are actually slightly better off than you, because we don't have as many people, and our economy hasn't been affected quite so severely as yours. But they're advertising houses over here that we can buy for almost nothing. It's wonderful. And so they're coming over here, Australians are coming over here and snapping up all these nice little deals that are around the place. Renovating them and putting people in there at a low cost, because they know that the economy is going to come good and their asset is going to rise. But that's just the world making themselves rich at the expense of somebody else. Friends, the economy of God's not like that.
Amen.
It doesn't have to do anything at anybody's expense to make itself rich. It is rich in itself. Yeah, it's just silver and the gold. You see, this time that we're in, I'm just laying a platform here, the time that we're in is called hard times. It's called famine. It's called, In some places it's called darkness, hard times. In fact, distressful times for many. But something happens during these times. And I want us to look at John chapter 15. And I just want you to know where you are tied into and what you're tied into and who you are actually. Verse 1 says, I am the vine, or the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's worth just pondering on right there. You're bound into the vine. Are you bringing forth the fruit that you're supposed to? You don't want to be thrown on the heap. People said, oh, God wouldn't do that. Excuse me? It's time that we start to look through our word. I mean, we are faith people. We walk by faith. We believe in a God who is just, do we not? Well, if we go through this word, I tell you what, he shows you how just he is. And we deal with the beautiful parts. And we forget that there's a not so beautiful part on the other side. There are checks and balances in this word. He says, you're either for me or you're against me. You either believe or you don't believe. You either receive or you don't receive. But the thing is, friends, there's a day that we're going to stand before him. You know, many times people think, oh, you know, there's going to be the judgment. Well, there is. And this world's going to be judged. No, it's not. It's you who's going to be judged. The world's already been judged, friends. They made their choices a long, long time ago. And their appointed time and place has already been appointed. But for us, we're going to have to give an account of what we did with one Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 3. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And then all of a sudden he does 10 abides. And he doesn't say it because he likes the word. He doesn't say, man, I love that word abide. I'm just going to go and stick it in there 10 times. No. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Friends, just right there, they are burned. And why are they burned? Well, we have a church up in the Hunter Valley, which is about an hour's drive from where we live, which is an outreach church. And it's in a vine growing area. And I got talking to one of the vintners, who is the owner of the vineyard, about this whole thing about burning the vine. You see, in our country, we have a great thing about recycling, you know. And can you imagine all that wood cut off and then they just burn it? Well, why don't they put it through a mulcher and make mulch and put it all around the vines so the water doesn't evaporate? I mean, hey, that's what they're teaching you to do. And it sounds great, doesn't it? And it makes beautiful mulch. Now, friends, the Lord says burn for a reason. When I was talking to this vintner, he said to me, I had that same idea. I said, fantastic. He says, do you know what happened? He says, the first year I did it, the only year I did it, he says, I mulched it all, put it around my vines, and I nearly lost my vineyard. Because what I did, I mulched up all the diseases and everything that was damaging the vines that year, and I sowed them around the bottom of my vines, and the coming year, that just exploded because they were still alive. The spores were in all that mulch, and it exploded and nearly killed his vines. Friends, the Lord destroys and does things for a reason. That we do not, or things do not, contaminate that which he is building and creating. That's good, isn't it? Verse 7. If you abide in my word and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be in, that my joy may be in you, and that you, that your joy may be made full. Thank you, Lord. Now, in these hard times, things don't look good. And that's true. That's the fact, isn't it? They just don't look good. It may not affect us in the church. Why? Because we're a faith church. We believe and we, over the years, have built ourselves in the Word of God, and the times are not affecting us like it's affecting the world. But friends, this whole building ourselves in the Word and this prosperity and all of that is not for us. It's that we might take what we have to a hurting and dying world.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say, well, hey, I have the miracles. I have everything. Fantastic. Look at me.
Yeah.
He took it, took his father's stuff, and goes out and gives it away. Whoever came to him, he healed. Set free. Yeah. Sent the word. Sent the people out. He's given it away. It's all about giving it away. Going up to the sea in Australia right now, it's coming on winter. Well, it is winter. And when you drive up into the vineyards don't look nice anymore. All of a sudden, all the leaves have dropped off, and you've got just these brown canes just dangling there. They're all entwined and knotted, and it doesn't look beautiful. I mean, vineyard, people go to the vineyards because it's so romantic. It just has this romance to it. You know, it's just green and beautiful, and there's grapes hanging off, and looks, but it doesn't look like that right now. It looks disgusting. And many times in our lives, that's the way it is. Because things are not dynamic, things are not cranking, everything's quiet, and Christians don't like quiet. Hello, where's the Lord gone? Quiet we hate. But friends, things happen when it's quiet. Winter time's coming on. These canes are just sitting there, and we think nothing's happening, but it is happening. You see, what is happening in those canes is all the energy that they have been requiring to grow and stretch out and develop the grapes and all the rest has stopped. And the root begins to suck all the sap out of those canes back into the ground to itself. If it does not do that, the energy it takes to grow the next season is stunted. And the colder the weather, the greater the harvest of the following year, because it forces it to draw it in. And friends, hard times, don't look at hard times as being, we've got to press into God. Friends, we should have already been pressed into God. We all should already be full of energy stretching out. Stretching out. And we take, you know, each of those canes, the vine dresser will come along and he'll cut them off. Right? He cuts them off and he wires them to the, ties them to the wire, takes away and just leaves the things that he wants. The unfruitful stuff's all gone. And you think, man, look at those ugly looking canes. They're just sitting there. But on them is a bud. And in every bud, there's something, and something you cannot see. The thing is, the outside is all brown and gnarly and horrible. But in each one of those buds, there is something developing that you cannot see. And that is the harvest of the coming year. You cannot see it. But if you get one of those buds and cut it open and put it under a microscope, you can see every bunch of grapes that particular cane is going to have the following year. They're already been made, friends. And I want to tell you, your destiny and your call and the purposes and the power is already on the inside of you.
Yes.
Things might be looking ugly, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't determine what's on the inside. He has placed in you the Holy Spirit. So all things are already developed in you. Now, you may not preach like pastor. You may not have a teaching ability like pastor. But pastor doesn't have what you've got.
That's right. Come on.
It's that which every joint supplies, and not every joint's the same.
Yeah.
Not every joint has the same purpose. But every joint is needed. Amen. Every joint is needed. Don't look at yourself as being handicapped or one who is more than able. Those that are more than able, more is required. It is. You know the swine flu, that thing that's going around? Friends, I mean, your schools are closing down here. Ours are too in Australia. You know, I've seen more people with snivels in a winter than I've seen with this swine flu business. That's a load of nonsense. But whatever, it's a reality to some people. But what are you doing with what you have? This is our opportunity. The Lord says this is our time. So what do we do in the times that are hard? We rise up.
Yes.
We operate the gifts. We begin to take what we've got and go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Yeah.
Don't say, gee, it's a bit tough for those people down the road there. They're doing it tough. Go down there. Take what you have. Amen.
Amen?
I tell you what, years ago, Lynn and I went into a place in LA called Union Mission. Called Union Rescue Mission. And it was started by a couple who couldn't have children. And what they did was, this couple would go around Los Angeles, horse and cart, and grab sick individuals out of the hotels and all the other places, put them on the cart, take them home, feed them, and make them whole. Pray for them. And they call them their guests. Well, today their guests, this house that they started, feeds 1,100 individuals a day. Beds, 900 individuals a night. Has special places for women, special places for men, and special places for women with children. They educate those that are just traumatized. They re-educate, they detox them, re-educate them, and set them out on the road of success. All because a couple couldn't have children. Well, they didn't sit in despair. They took what the Lord had given them and did something about it. And you know that the legacy of that was that it's a huge building. It's, I know, 5 stories high. It's huge with 3 basements. It's colossal, this place. And they got a bum off the street. And they brought him in there. And they nurtured him. An old man. And got them all healed. And then rang up the daughter. And this is what they do. They ring up the family. They don't get involved with the wife. If it's a man, they don't get involved with the wife, because he's usually burned all the bridges. He's gone and ruined their lives. He's spent every cent that they've had. So what they do is they ring up the children. And they only had a daughter. And they rang up the daughter and invited her down to see what they'd done with her dad. So she was skeptical and came down and had a look, and here was the dad, all clean, happy, going on. Still struggling through his alcoholism, but they were detoxing him and bringing him. And over the months, she told her mum. Mum didn't want to have a bar of it. But over the months, things changed. Then the wife went down and saw her husband. Wasn't the same man. They reunited them, took them home. Then he died. And then the wife died. And the daughter wound up with an inheritance of mega millions. He was a multimillionaire. The mother was a multimillionaire, and the daughter, in her own right, is a multimillionaire. And she said, Mum and Dad left me all these millions. I don't need it because I have my own. And for what you did for my dad, I want to give to you. And she gave them her entire inheritance that built that building. Friends, one bum off the street. You don't know who you're dealing with. But the thing is we don't deal it for the money, we deal it for people. And it's all about people. And the Lord wants to bring people into your midst. Amen?
Amen.
There's the people out there. Lots of them. Winter time is all about our time. This is our time. That's what the Father says. You know, I just want to look at Joseph. Joseph had a bit of a hard time. Got sold, got thrown in a hole, then got sold to a caravan, then got shoved into a prison, then thought he was doing great. And then he got bashed and beaten and every other thing. Then he winds up in Pharaoh's house. He becomes in charge of the goods. Pharaoh says, here, handle my stuff. So what did he do? Was he thinking that, oh, you know, my fam's going to come down here and get some food? No, he wasn't. He was doing what was called of him. He was using the gift that he had in God. And he started to save up and develop a structure which is going to help people in times of need. Yeah. Friends, that's what our whole walk is about. We're storing up stuff in us for our times, for this time.
Yeah.
And when his family did come, he was able to minister to their needs. But not only that, he reinstated their position with himself. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we tend to look at the different facets of Joseph, but the whole thing was bringing sustenance to a people of God. There are two ways that God brings winter upon people. One is by circumstance, and the other is by calling. Circumstance and by calling, where he draws us aside into relationship with himself. Now, there are three, I would just want to bring three points. But the first is that the children of Israel, hard times brings us into a place of intimacy. When it talks about the desert, when it talks about hard times, when it talks about places away from everything, all the Lord's talking about is intimacy. In that place of intimacy, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, all they had in their minds was promised land, better than we had. But where did God take them? To the promised land? No, he didn't. He took them into the desert. And their question was, did you bring us here to kill us? That's all you're doing. We would have been better off being back in Egypt, having bread and steak by the fire. They went, oh, give us the leeks. I tell you what, all God had in mind was intimacy. And when it did come to that point of intimacy, what did they do? They said, well, not me. Yeah, Moses, you just go and do that stuff, and we'll stay here. There was only one other person that was interested, and that was Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah.
Or two. But you know, they were happy. Real happy. Why? Because they had got the revelation. The revelation was that our God is more than able.
Amen.
And if he's taken in the desert, he'll supply.
Yeah, he'll supply.
Amen? I mean, could you imagine how big that rock was? I mean, why didn't he just open up a spring in the ground and tell the water to pop up out of the ground?
Yeah.
No, he's got to have a rock that goes around. How big was that rock?
Did it have wheels?
Yes. Did it fit on a cart? No. It doesn't say. It just says the rock came. Just went. Was there. Why a rock, for goodness sakes? Because he wanted to show himself how dynamic he is. He's more than able.
Yeah.
He can make water come out of. We could understand if it was a spring. Well, yeah. But no, this is. We're feeding 3 million people here and their stock. How many liters would have to pop out of that stone? I mean, the whole dynamic is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And yet, our people could not see how dynamic their God was. Friends, we have got nations hurting. We need to show them how dynamic our God is. Don't we?
Yes.
We do. We need to show them how dynamic our God is. Moses was on the backside of the desert. Came out of Egypt, went out the backside of the desert. He went from Pharaoh's courts to becoming an ambassador. It took 40 years to get him to become an ambassador for God. The children of Israel went into the wilderness. It took 40 years for God to forge the people to be occupiers of the promised land. It took 40 years to change from unbelieving people to a believing people. And finally, Jesus gets baptized, goes out into the desert, or retreats to the wilderness, they call it. And the Lord prepares him for public ministry. The Bible says in Luke that Jesus went out in the fullness of the Spirit and came back in the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
Got to be a difference, friend. A lot of us are Spirit-filled. Well, that's wonderful. A lot of us are baptized. Oh, that's nice. But where's the power of God in your life? Now is the time. And if you go out and you pray and nothing happens, press in. Begin to find out what you have, not what you think you have. Begin to go out and lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Amen? Because it's easy to say that we have these things, but friends, if we're not doers of the word, in fact, effectual doers of the word, what are we? Blowhards. That's really what we are. We're a bunch of blowhards. We just, you know, say who we are. I mean, it's just crazy. We sit in church year in and year out. We hear the most dynamic words. But will we take the word, make it a reality in our lives, and use its power? Because if we don't, the Muslims will. If we don't, the Hindus will. If we don't, every religious group will and do. And they are. I saw an interesting thing, you know, on my computer just recently. And they showed you the dynamic of the Muslim empire. And if they do nothing else but have children, this nation is going to be a Muslim nation in 20 years. Just by virtue of children. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I saw this whole thing and it was to frighten me. But it didn't frighten me because I thought, excuse me, they haven't read the dynamic of our God.
Yes.
Yeah. Go into all the earth, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them.
Yeah.
So they can, as Muslims or whoever, can have as many babies as they like. More for the kingdom. Wonderful, I think. They're just baby machines into the kingdom. Snatch them out of. Why? Because we're going to take what we have and we're going to show there's a difference between what they do and what we do. What we have and what they think they have. Amen? If Moses, or if they can challenge Moses with a stick, then my snake's going to eat their snake. Excuse me. Amen? Whose snake's going to eat who here? I went away to the Philippines last year, and this pastor's son said to me, Pastor, I want to take you up and show you where all this hot water is coming out of the ground and making, they have a geothermal area there. Well, that's, you know, I didn't like to say to him, oh, I've seen those, you know, I come from New Zealand, and we have geysers and all the rest of it, and mud and steam, and he said, I want to show you. I said, okay. All I had on were shorts, board shorts, and flip-flops. Yeah, flip-flops. And because we went to these hot pools. And so he takes me up into the jungle. And it's, I mean, where I come from, in New Zealand, there's no snakes. There's nothing in New Zealand that can kill you, animal-wise, right? Do you know what I mean?
Hallelujah.
Everything can bite you, and you still live. So he says to me, let's go up into the... So away I go, I follow him. I got my... And it's all wet because it's jungle. And we're slopping through all this mud, and my flip-flops are sticking in the mud, and I'm trying to... Anyway, we get up into this jungle, and he says, it's coming out of the ground just over there. And so, you know, I sort of shrink under these trees, and I started to walk towards this water, took one step, and between me and that water was a cobra. Well, I just almost messed myself. It was just like... I couldn't believe it. There it was. And it was up like this, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do now? There's this. He said, oh, hang on. Don't move. So he goes. I thought, oh, don't move. I said, hang on a minute. So I sneaked around. I got my camera out. Took a photo. I said, hang on, I'll get another one. So I took another photo. Put my camera back around in my pocket. He says, when I hit this thing, you jump. So he whacked it, I jumped. And then I'm thinking, if there's ones that size, there's bigger ones. That's got a mother. I'm out of here. So I just bolted. And I got stuck in the mud. My thongs were back, my flip-flops were back there. And I grabbed them out of the mud. And while I'm grabbing them, I'm standing on a line of fire ants. And these ants are climbing. I'd never seen fire ants. All of a sudden, I've seen them. They were burning my legs. It was just like, man, I ran down and he was after me and all the rest. And we got out of there. But you know what? It was just the whole thought. I'm thinking, what was I thinking? You know, wandering off into the jungle like that. Just because I was there to please my pastor friend's son, you know? But do you know what it was about? It was about, I say all of that for this, that young man was bound with a gang in the Philippines of Filipino Muslims who were growing drugs and selling them, and he was in charge of a big gang. That boy today is spirit-filled, pressing on in his father's ministry, doing great things, and doing great things with the Muslim peoples. I mean, we can change these things. You know, the Sultan of that area got saved. Amen? Got saved. And just recently, one of my pastors went over there, and the Sultan got taken out of his car and kidnapped. Taken up into the jungle, but he had his work clothes on and they didn't recognize who he was because he's very high standing. And they took him up into the jungle, and on the way up, one of these men shot him in the foot so he couldn't escape. And so he had to hobble along with his foot blasted. And when they got into the community where they'd taken him, the old people recognized him and said, this is the Sultan. He says, no, it's not. But if all the elders are here tomorrow morning, I'll believe. Well, all the elders were there, and that day, the Sultan had to say to that man, you've brought dishonor on your family, and you've brought dishonor on me. Now you have two choices. You're either going to prison, or I am going to kill you. And he killed him. This born again Sultan. I don't know how you work that one out. You know, the boy needs to go a few more Bible classes. But anyway, that's the way it is there for now. But see, things are changing, friends. That's what it's all about. When you go on the island of Mindanao, there is no American corporations. There is no Australian corporations there. Because it's where they train Al-Qaeda and all these other groups. Wow. It's too dangerous. Yeah. But what are we going to do? Are we going to allow them to occupy something that they have no right to. Those people are my Father's people. Amen? Our Father's people. I just praise God for those men that will stand up and go to war on our behalf. I want to tell you that our church signed up, and we get sent from the president's prayer team our weekly prayer, and we have taken on board one girl and one man each week to pray for. And we're talking American soldiers here. We're not talking Australian or British or any other side. This is just about America. Praise God. So when you go, we go. This is all about us, friends. There is a treaty that has been signed. That has been signed between America, New Zealand and Australia. It's called the Anzus Treaty. And it says where you fight, we will fight. Where you stand, we will stand. For one God under, one nation under God. Amen? And so that's what all this is about. And so I'll just finish with this. That this time in which we're living, don't look at it as being tough, hard, cold, bleak. God doing nothing. God's doing everything. In fact, the people will see him doing more the minute you start to rise up and get aggressive with what you have. Because this is your time. This is his time. Father, we just thank you, my God. And Father, we just want, my God, that for you to use us, that the people down the road, the people across the road, the people, Father, in the next town, the people, Father, in the next city, whatever it takes, Father, Lord, we just pray that you begin, Father, to raise us up and bring people across our paths. Father, we open our ears that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that, Father, we might be men and women available for every good work, that Father, some might be saved, that, Father, some, Father, might come to know you as Lord and Savior. That, Father, that this land, Father, would be healed and made complete and whole in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. Amen.